Welcome to Mentor Matters. It's February 8th, 2019, and I'm your host, Dante Legarsic, with the City of Mentor Public Information Office. What is Mentor Matters? Well, the point of this podcast is to keep you up to date with topics of interest as they relate to the City of Mentor, Ohio. This week, we're going to talk with Jerry Craddock, Public Education Specialist with the Mentor Fire Department, who's going to offer us some home safety tips. Hey, Jerry, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ante.
All right. So I understand Mentor Fire has a home safety survey, which they've been promoting the last couple of years. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, it's a home safety survey, and it's a checklist that we can go into the home homeowner's residence, and we can point out things that are unsafe for them. Based on the number of calls that we respond to, just it's our experience of maybe pointing out whether it be a senior's home of, you know, like throw rugs. Throw rugs cause seniors to trip and fall, which generates a call for us. So if we could eliminate throw rugs, then that eliminates a call, that eliminates injury. So it covers everything from, you know, like I said, things about falling, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, electrical issues, things in the kitchen, space heaters, you know, just it's pretty wide itemized list. But again, these are things that are important to us that that we'd like to point out to the homeowner.
Okay, so basically, if somebody's interested in doing something like this, they can go to the website, they can get in touch with you, and they can make an appointment in order to get this thing scheduled?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing. We don't usually get people requesting this to happen, for us to come out. And a lot of times people think that we're going to, number one, you know, people don't want someone in their home because they think it might be messy or something like that. The other reason they may think that we're going to, like, issue a violation to them if we point out something, right. And that is far from it. Number one, we go in people's homes for a living, basically, for the most part. And, we understand this is where people live, and we do not issue any type of citation or anything like that. It's just we want to prevent that call. This is all about community risk reduction and reducing the number of calls that we respond to that really directly impacts them, because they don't have they won't have that emergency. They won't have that medical, that fall or injury from falling or something like that. So yes, people can contact us. We're happy to come out. We would schedule it. And if they don't want us to come out and just would like a copy of the home safety survey, then they can just call us and give us an address, and we'll mail it out, and they can go through it themselves. So,
okay, so kind of walk us through this. You know, somebody decides they want to have you come out and take a look. How many guys come out? How long does this take?
Well, typically, four people will come out, and that is usually the on-duty crew that is in that area that where the residence is. So we'll come out. It may just be two guys and an engine, and
they don't show up with the lights on, do they?
No, we don't do that. unless they hit the 911 button, then we show up a little differently. But no, it's everything's relaxed. Usually, you get a lot of, like, hey, what's going on with the everyone in the neighborhood? But yeah, we show up and introduce ourselves, and we present the checklist to the family, and then we have a copy, and then we usually start off with some basic things like the smoke detector. You know, having a smoke detector that is less than 10 years old, ideally a carbon monoxide detector in the home if it's a gas powered home, so to speak, natural gas powered home. We give them ideas on placement of a smoke detector. You know, where is the proper place to place it? If they need a smoke detector, we'll you know, we have smoke detectors we can install for them. We aim that program mostly at seniors, but
Let me stop you there for just a second. The grant program with the smoke detectors, this is grant driven, right?
Correct.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that? It's been several years.
Oh, right? That's been way before me. That's probably been at least 15 years that we've had a smoke detector program.
Yeah, so people that can qualify for the smoke detector program, they can have this installed free of charge, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We don't want to just hand them out. We're not saying that people are going to take those and put them in their rental property somewhere, but
There's not a huge black market for smoke.
No, there isn't. But you know, here's the thing: we want to make sure that this thing is installed properly. And in terms of seniors, we don't want seniors to be climbing up on ladders to try to change a battery or change a smoke detector, right? Because you know there's a potential for a fall, and which generates a whole different type of call for us. So we come out and we'll go through the home and we'll just point out, we have this survey kind of divided off in certain areas that, you know, from heating appliances to electrical to kitchen safety. So just a pretty comprehensive checklist. And again, if they just want us to mail it out, we can mail it out and they can go through it and ask us questions, you know, follow-up questions later.
Okay. So and if you do show up, what are we looking at? Half hour, 45 minutes?
Yeah. I would say it's a half hour.
They don't have to make coffee or tea or anything.
Huh? Well, you know, it's not that it wouldn't be well received, but no, they don't have to do that. No, we're happy to do it. This, again, community risk reduction, reducing the amount of calls that happen in our community is our number one goal. So.
So you've done a number of these over the years. Have you ever walked into a situation where you found something that was just really egregiously out of place? Or
yes. Yeah. And it's our job to point that out to the people. And, you know, we're doing our due regard of, you know, we, you know, like I said earlier, this is what we do. We go in people's houses, you know, what's the commercial, the is it State Farm commercial? Like we've seen a lot,
right,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so we have seen a lot. And so we're going to, if something isn't proper, if something isn't safe, you know, it's important for us to point it out to them. And there's never been any, you know, never been anyone who hasn't, you know, appreciated that. And sometimes it's a business. Sometimes we've got to point things out to a business like, hey, you're blocking an exit here. You know,
right, this is
why we do that. But as far as a home safety survey, people, we don't get a lot of requests for them. We're trying to push it more. It's important to us to push it more. That's why we kind of changed the smoke detector program, if you will. We've kind of morph that into a home safety survey. So it's important.
Well, terrific. Well, you know, we've had a handful of fires over the past year. And I guess, you know, due to just improvements in technology and all that sort of stuff, you know, we've been very fortunate that no lives have been lost. We've come awfully close, though, haven't we?
Yeah. I think it was last year we had like three fires, and one was two of the fires, there was no working smoke detectors. One of the fires we had was minimal damage, but still, kind of caused a displacement in people's lives. One was a bathroom ceiling fan that was just, you know, original fan and, you know, a lack of maintenance, housekeeping, so to speak, as far as like cleaning out the lint that builds up on those.
Yeah, something you never think about, really.
And those are things that what this home safety survey does, it points out to that homeowner. I had put something on social media about, the fact that we had this issue, this type of call, and it was caused by a bathroom ceiling fan, I should say. And the response I got on social media was like, wow, I had no idea. And it's like, again, we've seen a thing or two about this. So, and again, when you think about it, very preventable.
Right.
Fortunately, the homeowner heard some popping and cracking and went into the room, and you know, she was awake. The door was open, and she heard it, and she was able to call us. You know, we got there pretty quick, but you know, if she had gone to bed. There was not a working smoke detector in that home as well. What we commonly find is that people will have smoke detectors and there's no batteries in them, or they're expired, or they're dead. So,
yeah.
It's important for us to get this message out. And each time I respond to a fire, and you know, I usually take care of the occupant services afterwards to help them out, get situated, and it really makes me feel like I'm not doing my job and getting this message out. But we have smoke detectors. We're willing to install them. We're willing to come into your home and make sure you have a smoke detector that's less than 10 years old and is working properly. We're happy to do that. It's important to us. And just there's a lot of tragedy, you know, from a fire and displacement. And, you know, again, from seeing this over the years, we want to prevent that, and we'll do anything we can.
So this time of year, it's wintertime, everything's pretty much closed up. You know, we don't get to open the windows up too often. You know, smoke you can smell, CO2 you can't.
Yeah. It's actually carbon monoxide, CO.
CO.
Sorry.
We all do that.
Sorry about that.
CO2.
Yeah, yeah.
No, man, that's
yeah,
good.
That's
for
okay.
Me.
It's carbon monoxide, and carbon monoxide is a product of a home that is powered by natural gas. It's caused from like an incomplete combustion of natural gas as it burns.
So is this just like a furnace related, or could your dryer do something?
No,
like that?
No, yeah, you got it. So it's furnace, it's a gas stove, it's hot water tank, it's a dryer. It can happen from something very avoidable. People want to start their car and leave the garage door closed, and then they open the door to the house, and then there's just this vacuum of carbon monoxide that comes into the home, which should alert a carbon monoxide detector if you have one. So this time of year, the carbon monoxide calls, I mean, they could happen at any time because of those appliances that we use year round. And you know, just a note, like every home generates a certain amount of carbon monoxide. It may be like 3, 4, 6 parts per million. Dominion will tell you that. But if that carbon monoxide detector that you install in your home, that's going to detect amount of carbon monoxide over time, and if it's like more than 35 parts per million, we're packing up with masks and air packs, and we're going in. So it's important to have, and the very common calls that we have for a carbon monoxide call is, and it's like almost like clockwork, so to speak, is someone will have work done to their furnace or hot water tank by maybe someone that, you know, knows a little bit about doing hot water tanks or knows a little bit about working on furnaces, and people, want to save some bucks. And it's usually from someone doing some work that really doesn't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the symptoms? I mean, you know, how do you know?
Yeah, carbon monoxide is, you're just going to be sleepy. you're going to be more tired than normal. Everyone seems to be tired this time of year with lack of sun, but you know, you're going to be more tired than normal. People will experience a headache. And again, we all get headaches from every so often, but it's going to be that headache that's like, is going to be like, wow, I've never had a headache like this before. Those are big indicators. Headaches, more tired than normal, not waking up when you should, can't stay awake. Those are big indicators. And, you know, if someone's experiencing something like that, press the 911 button, get us wheels rolling there to check you out and get outside. So, those are pretty much the symptoms that people exhibit.
Yeah, to pivot on that, actually, it's kind of interesting. We have a lockbox program, which many people don't seem to know about either. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, the lockbox program has helped the fire service incredibly. And, you know, I go to the senior, actually, I was just at the senior center today. I go there once a month, and I bring a topic to them to kind of, you know, enlighten them. Mm-hmm. And they made me feel good today because one lady says, you always bring something interesting. So that was good. That keeps me coming back. So the lockbox program has helped us out quite a bit. And here's how. And it's really aimed at seniors. Seniors,
First of all, what is it?
It's a residential lockbox program in which we're basically the homeowner is entrusting the police and fire department to have access to their home. So as an example, Mrs. Jones trips and falls, and she lives alone. She trips and falls in her home. She can't get up to unlock the door. And the thing I find about seniors is they lock up their house tighter than a drum. So, and the fire department has we have the ultimate key to open any lock. It's called an axe, but we don't want to use that. So it's a residential lockbox in which they put their key in a box. The police and fire department in Mentor we're the only ones that have this specialized key. We lock it up in front of them, and it's a metal box. It's about, you know, 3 inches by, you know, 3 inches by 2 inches, and it fits over their front door. It doesn't detract from the looks, the aesthetics of the home, and it has been a program that has helped us gain access to seniors' homes. And help them when, you know, they don't always need to go to the emergency room. If they do, they, you know, we'll take them. But if they just, sometimes they've fallen and can't get up. Sometimes they just need help getting back to bed. And, you know, we can gain entry to their home. We can assist them. And then, you know, they sign a release, and then we can put that key back in their lockbox and leave. So
it's got to be a bit of a money saver. I mean, what's the lockbox program cost to senior?
It is $35. It's a one-time fee. There's no monthly fees. There's no annual fees. It's a one-time fee. You buy it, you own it. And it is, again, it has been a program that I have done enough breaking in of doors and helping someone up. And only because I don't know what the situation is. If they're down in the basement,
I
assume the worst. $500
to fix a door, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we feel so bad if we do damage to their home, but it is we don't know what's going on, and there have been times where we have responded to someone's home, and they've been on the floor for 3 days. We'll get an alert there, and they can't get up and open that door for us. And so it's helped us out quite a bit. And we're you know, if someone is unable to afford one, we're certainly, you know, can find the resources to help them out in that regard. But again, it's a one-time fee, and I push it every time I go to the senior center, and we usually get someone signing up to get one. So it's been a good program for us, and other communities have that as well. So the specialized keys don't, like my key doesn't work in, or Mentor's key doesn't work in Concord and Painesville, but it's specifically for Mentor residents, the keys that we have and the lock boxes we have. So yeah, and the just for what it's worth, the lock boxes are made, Ohio made, in I believe it's Stowe, Ohio.
Cool. So Jerry, what are some of the other types of incidents you see this time of year?
You know, other than falls, with it being cold, there's the space heaters that come out of storage and go into service around the wintertime. The issues with those, and you know, I have one in my home as well, and you know, the thing about space heaters is that they are not designed to heat your entire home all day long. They're just really made to knock the edge off of that chill that might be in a room, like you're working at a desk, or just kind of take that edge off. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they said that they go to work and they leave the space heater on so that when they come home, the house is warm. And that's an unsafe practice. Some of the older space heaters, when they would tip over, they would keep running. So if you take something that is generating heat, that red coiled hot heat, and plant it face down into a carpet, guess what? You're going to have a house fire. Your house is going to burn down.
And that was, in fact, the cause of the most recent house fire, wasn't it?
That, I believe, had to do with a heating coil. Those heating coils that wrap around like piping. Believe someone was using one of those for a heating coil. And I think there might have been a little bit of a housekeeping issue where things kind of piled on top of that heating coil and, kind of ruined some people's days. But the space heaters are, you know, most of the newer ones that are on the market these days have that. If they tip over, if they do even like a 20, 30 degree tip, they will shut off. So that's just a built-in safety factor. But, my advice is if you have a space heater, if it does not tip off, if it does not shut off when it tips over, throw it in a dumpster. So, and again, you know, it's like, people have pets inside the house, and if it's not a space heater that shuts off when it tips over, you know.
Fido might do it for
you. Yeah. A dog goes after the cat, and you know what I mean? It's just like one of those scenarios. But space heaters are the biggies. There's, you know, from a life safety issue, when that first, we had this just recent cold spell, double digits. I believe our first 10 calls of the shift were slips on the ice. So, I don't know, the best advice for people, to not slip on the ice, but be prepared for it. Slow yourself down, throw some salt down, shovel, just be careful. And, you know, I could go into war. So I could go into war story. But one example of a scenario that I've encountered was we had a situation where grandma and grandpa, big snow came through. It's getting late at night. Grandpa wants to go out and shovel. So he's ahead of it in the morning, and grandma wants to go to bed. Well, grandma goes to bed and falls asleep, and grandpa slips and falls.
Oh, no.
And he slips, you know, he spends the night out there. And that particular collie was okay. But, you know, those are just some of the things that, you know, that happen that we see that.
Right. Jerry, thanks for taking the time with us. You know, people want to learn more about Home Safety Survey. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way to get a hold of us in an emergency, obviously, is 911. But however, if you want us to come out and check out your home and offer you some advice, take a look at your smoke detector or you know, an issue that you might be having, you can call 440-974-5765. That is the fire administration number. You can ask for public education. You can ask for Jerry Craddock. You can, you know, just say, hey, I want to talk to someone about a, you know, home safety survey, and we'll get you set up.
Awesome. You have an email address?
Sure. You can email me at, it's going to be my last name, Craddock, C-R-A-D-D-O-C-K, at cityofmenor.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the info, Jerry. We want to take a moment to let you know about a couple of meetings on the calendar for next week. The Building and Zoning Appeals meeting is taking place on Tuesday, February 12th at 7 p.m. The Municipal Planning Commission meeting will be occurring on Thursday, February 14th at 7 p.m., which you can also watch on the Mentor channel. For a full listing of upcoming meetings and events, visit cityofmentor.com/calendar. And that's about going to do it for this week. Thank you for joining us. I am Ante Legarsik with the City of Mentor, and I hope you'll join us again for Mentor Matters. For all the ways you can connect with the City of Mentor, please visit cityofmentor.com/connect. If you have a question or a comment, drop us a line at pubinfo@cityofmentor.com.